Hi, everyone. This is Dawn Clem, and you are on my podcast, Milkweed and Monarchs. I wanted to take some time today to talk about inspiration. I wanted to tell you who was the catalyst behind the inspiration for me starting my podcast. As you already know, inspiration can come from a variety of things. It can come from nature. It can come from your parents. In the first episode, I told you how my dad said, "Nobody helped me, and I'm not going to help you." That actually was inspiring to me. Can you imagine that? If he hadn't have said that to me, I wouldn't have taken the time to really think about what are the next steps for me in this life. It can come from your siblings, your friends. It could come from church. There are so many different ways inspiration can come to a person. Even a song or a great book. I can tell you I've been inspired by many, many books. But what happened to me is the story I'm going to share with you today. My oldest daughter was turning 30. She is a recruiter for a Catholic college in Indiana, and her assignment at the time was to recruit students in various different states, one of which happened to be in Southern California. She was going to be going to California during the time that she was turning 30, and it was at the end of April. I had recently retired from the hospital, so I did have an opportunity to be able to travel with her. And she definitely wanted to. She was calling me, kind of pressuring me into traveling with her. I remember thinking, why don't you want your husband to go with you to celebrate your 30th birthday? Why don't you ask your mother-in-law to go? Why don't you ask your sister? I mean, I said everything. And she's like, "Mom, I want you to come. And I don't know what I'm going to do if you don't come." So when she said that to me, I realized that I needed to go. That's all there was going to be. I'm going, and I'm going to help her celebrate her 30th birthday. I had lived in San Diego a long time ago when I was in the Navy. I lived there for a couple years while I worked in the Navy. And then when I got out of the Navy, I actually came back to San Diego, and I lived there for 3 more years. So I was kind of excited to go to Southern California with her because I could revisit some of my old haunts back there. The vacation turned out to be a really great thing. It was a spectacular vacation. But the very first thing that happened is she picked me up from the airport, and like typical tourists, we went out to eat, did a little shopping, and went back to the hotel. I thought it was a good start to the vacation, although it was things I could have done here, right? But it was in a different environment, and she was excited to have me out there, so it was good. The next day we got up, and she was concerned because she knows I like to walk, that maybe she didn't have a comfortable enough pair of shoes with her. She said just down the road from our hotel was a Marshall store. And any woman that's listening to this podcast will know that Marshall's has great deals and is a great place to shop. So I'm like, "Oh, I'm all in for Marshall's. No problem there." She was getting breakfast from the hotel for us and bringing it back to the room. So we finished eating that very next morning, and we decided to head out to the Marshall store. It was probably about 10 o'clock in the morning. I was looking for a pair of shoes too. You can always use another pair of shoes. Although, when you're traveling by plane, I don't want to get too much. I don't want to load down myself while I'm traveling. But I said, I'll check them out too. As I've already told you, I'm short. And I think I must have a welcoming personality. I do smile a lot, so that could be it. But I think being short means I'm not very intimidating to people, which is unfortunate. You know, there's times where you want to have your growl on, if you know what I mean. But there we were standing in the shoe department, and I notice there's this woman a couple aisles back. And she seems to be lurking or hovering around us. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder what this is all about. Finally, she walks up to us and she starts talking to us. She introduced herself right away. Her name was Karen and she was in her 70s. So it wasn't somebody that I would feel afraid of, nor would my daughter. She said, "What brings you into Marshall's today? I'm here, but I really don't know why I'm here. I already have so many pairs of shoes and more clothes than I need. I just come in here to look around." So we explained to her that we were basically tourists and we were here to get a pair of comfortable shoes so we could sightsee and walk around. Then at that point, she said, "Well, where are you from?" And we told her we were from Michigan. She said, "Oh my goodness, I'm from Chicago." So there was an instant bond between us because we were from the Midwest. She looked at us and it was obvious we were about to hear a story. And she ended up telling us the story of her life. An amazing story. I remember I stood there captivated for like 20 minutes while she was telling us her life story. I really thought about that story and that encounter. I actually took her phone number and I gave her mine, and I told her she would be hearing from me again. I didn't know what I was going to do with that story, but I thought, well, maybe I will just call and check on her and see how she's doing in her life. Maybe I'm not going to do anything with the story. Maybe she's just going to become a great friend. I really didn't know. I had no idea. So anyhow, we proceed through the next 5 days of our vacation. My daughter's working, I'm vacationing and having a fabulous time. And at the end of the vacation, when I'm back on the plane, all I could think about was Karen and her story. First of all, just to let you know, I'm not somebody that usually fixates on things like this. I mean, it was a haphazard meeting, but she had inspired me so much, I knew that it wasn't the end of the meeting, and I didn't know what I was going to do with the story. I just kept thinking about her life story. All I can tell you is I knew that Karen was wonderful. And I just kept thinking the whole time I was on the plane, what am I going to do with this information? I thought about it and I thought about it and I started thinking about things like Profiles in Courage from John F. Kennedy. And I started thinking about other books and stories I had heard in my life. And I was just so convinced that this was a story that needed to be told. And I was going to be the one to tell it because she wasn't going to tell the story. Maybe that's why she came into my life, because I was supposed to tell her story. So I got home and I'm telling my husband the whole story. And my husband was like, oh my word, this is quite an amazing story. He said, I don't know what is more of the story that she randomly picked you to tell her whole life story to, or that her story in and of itself is amazing. And it is true. I mean, how would you just walk up to a perfect stranger and tell them your whole life story? But he wasn't surprised by that. He wasn't surprised that anybody would just walk up to me and start talking, because I'm the person that's going to talk back. I have no problem talking. I said, I think I should tell her story. Should I write a book? What should I do? I had always thought about writing a book. There's a lot of people that write books, you know? And I was thinking, I don't know, I can write a book, but is my book going to be enough to capture people's attention? I mean, I think it's hard to write a book. Not the writing of the book. I think the marketing of the book was what would bother me the most. So I was thinking about that. I was just trying to figure it out. What am I going to do? I felt like she told me her story because it was inspirational. And I was worried about getting the message out more than actually writing a book. Like, sometimes it feels like the world we're living in is so heavy right now. And we're so contrary to each other. I don't know. I think it's because I'm older. But I just remember things being so much easier when I was growing up. It seems so simple. And everything is so complicated now. I wanted to be able to share a story that would inspire people who were also going through a hard time, or people who may need to feel connected to somebody. I just felt like her story was something that would be inspirational to other people. I started thinking about all the patients that I had and all of their stories and all the people that I've met along my way. So many stories to tell. And I thought about my friends and their lives, because all of us had that point of inspiration that really changes the way you feel. Or more importantly, lets us know that we are all connected, interconnected, that we are all part of this giant team. And I think that's something maybe we need to hear more often. Maybe we need to start sharing those stories. And so then I was back to the book, writing a book. And I think what I decided was the book was going to be about the people I have met along the way of my life and how they influenced me one way or another. It could be good or bad. And how that profoundly changed me in some way, and how it all brought me back to the feeling of interconnectedness. My husband is an engineer, and so it wouldn't be a stretch for him to go to the store and buy me all the podcast equipment that I need. And that's exactly what happened. He's like, you know, you could write a book, Dawn, but knowing you, I think it's going to take you a long time to write the book. And you're a talker already. You are a talker. No lie. Thank you for reminding me, right? He says, why not learn how to talk into a podcast? I think your podcast could go somewhere. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to be the next Joe Rogan, right? No, I didn't think too much of it at all, but it is a good medium for telling stories, so I was kind of intrigued by his suggestion. About 2 weeks later, he comes home with all of the equipment, and I'm talking about professional grade equipment like you see all these podcasters have out there. I'm like, oh my gosh, only he would do something like that. And he said, I think a podcast is going to be great. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to talk to one more person. And I decided to go to a counselor, card reader. And I talked my whole situation out with her. And by the time I left her office, I knew that I was going to be doing a podcast. And she was excited because while I was in her office, I had told her the story of Karen. So she said, you've got the green light. My husband said, you've got the green light. And I called Karen in California and I told her what I was going to do. And she's like, oh my word, I never thought anybody would tell my story. But she gave me the green light. And so here we are now on my podcast, and I'm going to tell you the story of Karen. Karen was born in Chicago. It was her parents, and five siblings. She was one of the middle children. I think she said she was actually the third child. And they all lived in a one-bedroom apartment, if you can imagine that. She said that every night they would get their cots out, the kids, and they would sleep in the living room, and the parents slept in the one bedroom. Her dad was a salesman, so he was gone a lot during the day, and her mom was a stay-at-home mom with the kids. After a while, it became obvious to the dad that they were not going to be able to stay in that apartment. She said many times, and she wanted to make sure that I included it in the story, that Karen's parents were of Polish descent. So that is an important factor to her. The children were getting older. The oldest ones were 10 and 11 years old. And he decided, her father, that one-bedroom apartment was not going to work for him. So he decided to get another job. The job was still in the Chicago area, but they were able to move to a bigger house. She said she thinks he was making more of an income. So it was the first time the kids actually got to share bedrooms. She said it was a three-bedroom apartment, so three kids would be in one room, three kids would be in another room, and the parents would be in the master bedroom. And they were all excited about being able to be in bedrooms for a change. Their dad worked long hours, so one day when he wasn't home, it wasn't unusual to them. They figured he was probably working another long day. She said her dad was a hard worker, but he was also a drinker. She said she always felt sorry for the two oldest siblings, a boy and a girl, because she said her father took out his frustrations mostly on the two older children. On this particular day, it had gotten later than usual, and all of a sudden, there was a knock on their door. The mother went to the door, and the kids scurried around behind her. there was a policeman standing at the door. He asked her if her name was blah, blah. I don't even know her last name, to tell you the truth. And she said it was. And he said, I'm here to deliver some bad news to you. Your husband was driving home tonight, and he was in a car accident, and he was killed in the accident. What a shock. Their father had died. She said her mom just stood there. What am I going to do? What am I going to do now? How am I going to take care of these six children alone? She was sobbing, and the kids were all hugging her. I can only imagine what that night must have been like in that apartment. The mother had sisters, and one of her sisters lived in California at the time. So their mom decided she was going to go to California and leave the children with her other sister, who lived in the Chicago area as well. She wanted to go to California to see if there was a better way to take care of her family out there, if she'd be able to get work and be able to have help from her other sister. The one thing that Karen described to me so many times when she was telling me the story is how cruel people could be because they called her a Polack. She said they were always called Polacks when they were in school in the Chicago area. And they were told time and time again, you're a Polack, you're not smart, you're never going anywhere. I think it's important to mention this because I think we hear so much about racism now, but racism has been going on for a very long time. It just moves from different factions or religions or cultures. I don't know why we do that and why we're not kind, but we could do better. We could be nicer. We don't have to single people out like that. And that weighed on her a lot. I think her mom thought that Chicago was really prejudiced against Polish people. And she was looking for a whole new life for her children. And she wanted to go to California to see if they were more going to be more accepting of her and her children. Karen said she never thought she was smart enough. She never thought she was good enough. When she was telling me the story, she didn't feel sad about it. It was just a fact that influenced her life. So her mom flew to California, Southern California, the Arcadia area. And she did end up finding work. And so all of the kids ended up going out there with their mom. Karen was going to be a freshman in high school when she got out there. And she actually did start to school. And she did say that the children out there were kinder to her. And she didn't hear anything about her being a Polack out there. But she wasn't in school very long. And it became obvious to her that her mom was going to need help. So she quit school in the ninth grade and she started working as a housekeeper in hotels to help her mom make sure that they had enough money to take care of the family and all of the children. So from there, she wanted to get a job in Woolworths. And Woolworths was like a five and dime store, but it also had a dining area there. She thought she might be able to make more money if she went to Woolworths. So she went and applied, and they did hire her, and she went to work in Woolworths behind the counter, waiting on people at the diner there. And when people would come in, customers, she would start to notice them. So pretty soon, women were coming in that were dressed very nicely. And it made her feel unconsciously uncomfortable because she was in a uniform and she knew that they were poor. And Karen started to become friendly with the routine customers that came in. Pretty soon she was asking the women that were dressed so nicely where they worked. And they started telling her they were bank tellers at the bank. So Karen decided, I wonder if I could become a bank teller. One day, she had the courage to say to one of the women dressed so nicely, "How can I become a bank teller?" So they asked her questions about herself. There was a group of four of them, and all of them started asking her questions. And then they told her that in order for her to become a bank teller, she was going to have to go back to high school and graduate, or at the very least, she was going to need a certificate like a GED saying she had equivalent education. So she decided to go back to school. She went to night school so she could still continue working at Woolworths. And then when she graduated, they hired her to work at the bank as a bank teller. Part of the reason why they hired her is because the ladies knew her from Woolworths, and so they were able to put in a good word for her. If she didn't talk to them when they were at the counter, she would have never known to go back to school. And I think she was really proud about the fact that she actually went back to night school and ended up getting her high school degree. She really, really loved working at the bank as a teller. While she was working at the teller, she ended up meeting her husband while she was there. He was the sheriff in their local town. They ended up getting married. And then from there, she was still meeting people all the time coming into the bank. And she ended up meeting a woman who worked for a skincare company similar to Mary Kay. And so she talked to her and started working part-time selling skincare products. She really loved selling skincare products. One of the major reasons why she loved selling the skincare products is she would go into poor neighborhoods and she would do parties at their homes. So she thought she was making them have self-esteem, like she wished someone would have done for her when she was growing up. She felt like she was making the girls feel like they could be something in their lives. To her, it was one of the most meaningful jobs that she's ever done. She really, really loved it. She would go into their homes and do demonstrations. She felt like she was going into homes where the young ladies and the mothers would never have an opportunity to understand beauty and to try to improve themselves if she didn't go in there. She felt like she was really doing a great service for those women. And even when I was talking to her, she said, if this podcast gets out there and it changes any one person's life, then I have done my job. So that is the type of person that Karen is. She just wants to do good things to help people. But every step along the way, she would ask the question, well, how can I do that? And every step along the way, she would get instruction, and then she would take the direction, and then she just kept moving forward. I mean, from a family where they told you your dad's an alcoholic and your family was ridiculed for being Polish, she ended up living an amazing life. She worked at the bank for another 10 years as a teller. She was even the head teller. And then one day, she decided to go out on her own and just be a skincare specialist for this company. The people at the bank thought she was crazy. They all tried to talk her out of quitting. They're like, this is a steady job. You're always going to have an income. But if you go sell skincare, it's so iffy. You don't know how long that product is going to last. You really need to stay here. But she had made up her mind. She knew when she was going into those people's homes that she was making a huge difference and that she was changing people's lives. She did such an amazing job at selling skincare that she became the number one seller of the year. I mean, it was huge. And they have a big celebration at the end of the year to celebrate all their top salesmen. She actually got a mink fur coat at that time for being the number one saleswoman for that company. Thankfully, it was at a time when PETA was not around, so no one would throw blood on the mink coat. And she still has that coat to this day. She told me when I walked across that stage, that was like my prom for me. Because I never went to high school, so I never got to go to my prom. I never felt like I really fit in. But that never stopped me in my life. She never let it stop her. And even now, she still works part-time for the skincare company. I thought she was one of the most inspiring and amazing people that I had ever met. It was a story like, you're not going to. You don't have to. You're not going to give it up in this life. You can be told that you're not worth it, but you can also rise above it. And that is what Karen did. That's what she did. She heard what they said. And yes, it was hurtful. And it probably could be discouraging. But she didn't care. She kept asking the right questions to the right people. She's a great observer. That's how she met my daughter and me, observing us. She sees what's going on. She understands what's going on. And then she makes her next steps. I'm always going to be thinking about her. I know from what she said to me that she's a very religious and spiritual person. She feels like she didn't have a father growing up, but she didn't need her father because she has Jesus. She told me that many times, and that's just another part of the story that kept moving her forward. She's a good Christian who kept moving forward, and her faith moved her forward. I think all of us could use a little Karen in our life, couldn't we? And you know, I think about Karen, because of course Karen for some reason has a negative connotation now. I don't really know why, but I can tell you, Karen is the perfect name for her, because anybody that makes fun of a Karen never met this Karen. She is one of the most inspiring and influential people that I have ever met. So that's my story about Karen. Actually, that's Karen's story. I called her and I tried to tape record her voice, but it didn't work very well. She keeps asking me when I'm going to come back to Arcadia. I think I should go back to Arcadia. I would like to see her again. I really would. The last time I talked to her, her friends had convinced her to go on a cruise. And I thought, I mean, who would have ever thought? The little Polish girl in Chicago whose dad had died was going to end up to be a fabulous inspiration to all of us. Thank you for listening to my story today. She's the first of many stories that you will be hearing about people that inspired me in my life. I hope it makes you think about all the things that have happened in your own life and where you feel you get your inspiration from. Until the next time.